My name is Colleen Pina Guerin. The date is 4/13/2024, sometime after 11 a.m. We are at the interviewer's home at 11 Maple View Terrace, New Bedford. Today, I will be conducting an oral history for the Casting a Wider Net project, a community oral history in conjunction with the New Bedford Fishing Heritage Center. My narrator today is Laverne Gomes. And she will be sharing the stories of her work on the waterfront as a fish house worker. Okay, this audio recording, Laverne, and the transcript will become part of the center's archive. Okay, they're going to keep it in their records, and it may be used in the future to develop future programs. Okay, they may call you back. Publications and exhibits. For the record, do you give us permission to record you for this interview?
Yes.
Okay. She owns the copyright. You do own the copyright to this. Okay. Okay. Let's start. This is an easy one. Tell me about yourself and your family. Like, what was your childhood like? Where you were born? Where you were brought up? That kind of thing.
Okay. I was born in New Bedford, Massachusetts, of course. And I lived in Wareham. We lived there for a while until my mother can get a job in New Bedford and bring us back here so we can live out here. That's where we lived. But we always on the Cape. So many, many years there. Went to school out there. Worked on the farm. My grandmother had like 4.5 acres of land, and there was everything on there. I mean, from strawberries, raspberries, whatever, watermelon, potatoes, chickens, the whole nine yards. And so we all were on selling the strawberries way down the road. And, yeah.
And then you...
And we used to be there. We were there for a long time. The family used to come down every Sunday to meet and have dinner. And then they would go back, and we would chase the car all the way to the road with the dust hitting us in the face, saying bye, 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 right? So long. That's the word we use, so long. We don't use goodbye. And then we finally got to New Bedford. My mother raised us by herself with my brother first, my sister, then me. She raised us by herself. My father was a professional boxer. And so she worked very hard. She kept the family together. And it was like a family where we lived in the Bay Village. We used to, it was like every time you meet with different people and family, and her doors were in and out. She accepted all these people that were out there, didn't eat, didn't, but I have to tell this story, son of a gun. There's enough food for everybody, you know? So that's how our house was. The door was in and out with different people. We knew a lot of people because the family was big. So that's where I started, okay? So as I'm growing up, older, getting older, because I had some problems in my life too. I totally stopped learning. Like, I don't really know how when it started, but I know I quit school at 16. And I had a lot of problems. And then I started babysitting because I used to want to, because I came from the Cape, I'm going to work. Saved all my money up. Every time I babysat, saved all my money up. I went to the Cape at that time, saved Hyannis, Onset. I heard about the fishing place, the Final Kitchen, near the water. And I said, I'm going to go there, right? Boy, I had got a job there. I'm going to go there. So when I went, I got hired. Was I 18? I don't know. I started in 1972. Fryano was a place that if you can make it and you were strong enough, you would make it there. Because I couldn't. I was like, right? I just couldn't.
Why?
It was 6 Cape Verdeans in there in the daytime. And all the rest was Portuguese. I went there to work for my daughter to keep her with food in the house, my car running, pay my bills, and that's how I always was, paying the bills no matter what. And as you can see on my check, I think I took out $165 a week.
Just going. Take me through a day. So, what time did you get up in the morning to have to get to this job, and what you had to do to get prepared?
Okay. So, I had to be there at 6 o'clock in the morning. So, I was, up at 5:30 to get Jala dressed up to go to the babysitter and everything. So, that was a lot for me. I go to work at 6. I punch in at 6. I already was dressed at home anyway. I had my long johns, like I said, those hot stockings, boots, a nice warm top with a hoodie, zip it up, hood over the head, and ski pants. I bought my own stuff. I bought ski pants the whole 9 yards.
I'm sure it was so cold. It was cold, still
freezing. Yeah, because the cold would come from the bottom of the conveyor, you know.
And what were you packing at the time? Fish sticks?
Fish sticks. Okay. The fillets, all those, you know, it was already frozen, but it was cold, and you had to pack them like that. And you would get them and just throw them in there, and then the bad ones, they would pick out at the end of the conveyor. Mm-hmm. And then the lady would send the boxes through. So, and we started being smarter. We started putting liners in our gloves. So we can, because we had rubber gloves on. Mm-hmm. The rubber gloves was cold. But we had to put the liners in, and with the liners, so we can pack the fish and be 8 hours. You know what I mean? So, and then we only got so many breaks. You know, so what was I gonna say?
Did you have friends at the fish house? Did you have a group of people that you hung with? I know you gave me a picture with your aunts and cousins and mm-hmm. stuff, and that kind of camaraderie.
Yeah.
You also had people in your family that were in the same industry.
Right, before me. Yeah. Yeah, and they did the wet fish.
Okay, explain that, please, because I don't think a lot of people know what that process is.
The wet fish, because I worked there one day.
Yeah.
It was really bad. It was, I don't know how anybody, Biggie, I don't know how she made it. Her hands were swollen, used to come home. We have arthritis too, but they got it really, really. You would walk and the floors were wet. The floors was wet. They did have drains, but that would, you know, but still it was wet. They would have to wear warm clothes. They would have to wear the aprons, right, around them to, you know, keep them. And it was nothing but wet fish. When I say wet fish, fish that you take out of the water, you cut it up and you clean it. Yeah, it was bad. And then the first day I went there, I'm scared of this. I said, I'm out of here. I was out of there.
So you were saying that it wasn't like your generation that worked in the fish house that did that wet fish work. It was older Cape Verdean women that did it?
Older, yes. My mother and all of them. Yeah, my mother never worked there, though.
Oh, okay.
My mother worked in the nursing home.
Okay.
Yeah, she was good with that, with people and stuff, so...
But you had your own group of friends where you worked.
Yeah. Okay. So it was Joyce. It was Molly, her daughter Robin. I forgot her name. Pinto. Cynthia Pinto. Mm-hmm. And I'm forgetting. Oh, Joyce. Marie de Cruz. Okay. Mary de Cruz.
And you guys. She died. Kind of hung out.
Yeah.
Each other.
I hung up mostly with Joyce. Joyce was, yeah.
Your buddy.
Yeah, I can trust Joyce. Mm-hmm. That's what at that time. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But all those girls got out and they're all sick. They all have something. I have the fibromyalgia. They have arthritis. Their hands are all crooked and everything. It's like, it's really, it was
and
bad.
And you think that's all a result of working with the fish?
I believe, even though a lot of people have fibromyalgia, I believe I got that from there. I don't know why. Well, what happened was, one day I was home the weekend, and all of a sudden I couldn't move. I started screaming. The pain was so bad, and they called the ambulance. They came after me, and they're putting I'm screaming like, oh, that hurts, and I was just a mess. So from that day on, I could not go back to work. Mm. I was out.
How long did you work at the fish house?
27 years. Yeah.
And you were 18 when you started?
When I started, I believe. If you look at the...
And you only left because you...
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Just because I wouldn't... I probably was still stood there because I had to live. I had no education. And there was nothing else going to work for me. You know what I mean? But I did everything I had to do that my mother taught me in life to make it through the next day. You know what I mean? And, I'm trying to think.
Did you have, like, benefits after the strike? Did you get better benefits?
That's where I was going. Because I go all over the place, if
that's
you know
okay.
this, right?
It's okay.
Okay, yeah, they're going to. What happened was when the union came in, we were the ones that, because we came from the old place. I told you they started in the old place, the first place. And then they, when we started there, they moved us to the new building. Because the new building was bigger and it was better the way the fish, you know, rotated inside the conveyor and everything. So that's, they moved us over. So we were the old girls. Mm-hmm. We're the ones that brought in the union. So when that came, it was like God heard our prayer. Because we were like, we can go in any line we wanted. We can pick and choose now. We don't have to go there because they tell us. You understand? We know every day where we're going to be at. Yeah.
So it got better.
It got better when the union came in.
And how many years do you think that the union was there before you left?
Oh my goodness, I don't even.
Was it a long time? I mean,
I can't even remember.
Because was the union ever busted? Yeah, that you know of?
But never what?
Did they bust the union? Did they get rid of the union after?
They, when we left, they got rid of the union. Mm-hmm. They made, because those people would pack fish standing on their head if they had to. Mm-hmm. They didn't care. They had to, that's what they did. They came to this country, okay? They lived with each other.
You're talking about the Portuguese women that you
Portuguese?
Eventually developed a relationship
yes, with. Yes, yes. A lot of them. Oh, I didn't tell you the part about. I got to tell you when I was leaving out the door. That's it. They used to tell me the stories because I wanted to hear their stories when I became really chummy with them, because they saw something different in me after I got to know the Lord, and they told me they saw me in the bathroom. They said, "How come? Yeah, you changed. What's the matter? What's the matter?" And I was like, "Yeah." I said, "I have Christ in my life now. I don't have to worry about you guys no more."
and your friendship got better.
Exactly. And now I see them in the street when I tell you, it's like, "Hey, just too short. You look like you're younger." And I look at them and I go, "Oh my God, look at the age on them that it's, you know what I mean?" Because they were hardworking people, though. Mm-hmm. They're hardworking people. So they tell me that the story that they used to come out here, get one house, live in it. Because they don't turn their back on their people. Listen to this. They worked hard, all of them. They ate fish. Every time I talked to them, they were eating fish every day. That's how they lived. They would do this so they can get what they want to get in America to go where they have to go. They would let, once the house was out, they paid the mortgage. Once the house was all paid, they leave that house. They go to, the rest of them would stay, one would stay there that probably did more. They would go to the next house until they all had their own home. And let me tell you, they all did it. Okay? And they all ate fish stew. And they loved it. And nothing, they didn't complain about it, though. You know what I mean? That's how they lived. So
would you say that your experience as a fish industry worker gave you insight into what you're going to do with the rest of your life? Like, I know that you've done so much in your life since then.
Mm.
And do you think that that experience watching these hardworking women and what having to work as hard as you did had anything to influence your life? Anything to do that influenced your life going forward?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Because I seen how they live, and I was like, what? So, but like I said, I was leaving the building one day, and I was changing my clothes and putting my boots and tying everything up, my shoes. And I saw a scripture that was on the, because already I was coming to know the Lord at, you know, that time, being serious about it anyway, because I couldn't stand what was going on, because I don't know if I did tell you that I was so mad. We used to have, let me get to this part, because I'm going to get back to this one again, the end of it. But we used to be called to the office all the time, the Cape Verdean girls, because we took our days off. They called us calendar girls, because there was 3 days out, 2 days out the month we could stay out. But if you took a third day, you were in for it. You were done. So no matter what happened, and I used to try to be very careful. So one day, Joyce took her days. I said, did you take your days? We talking in the morning. You took your days? Yep. So I had a car, but my car was a little buggy, like, and it wouldn't go in the snow. There was a big, big storm, right? So we couldn't take the car. We couldn't take the cab, because the cab was this. They were stuck. Our cab was stuck. So me and Joyce said, yeah, well, we can't stay home. We got to go. So I said, okay. So she lived in the village too. So we start on, head to the job over Route 18, right? And we're walking. Oh, see, I'm trying to show you now. We're walking. We had our hood on, everything all cool. We were walking backwards all the way through the whole time. We were laughing so bad, and we were upset at the same time that they would have work. I said, I can't believe this, right? So we walked all the way. We were freezing. When we got into the plant, we said, where's the people? They said, nobody's here. Nobody came. It's a storm. They said, now you've got to work. We had to work that day. Isn't that awful? They put us to work. So I'm telling you, Joyce is a piece of work. But anyway, so I was getting back to the place where I saw that scripture. It was a scripture that took me through my life. And that's what made me.
And this was at your job that you found this scripture?
Yep. Right on the seat. And when I'm tying my shoe, and Joyce must thought it was crazy. But I didn't care. Because I knew God. And I knew the Lord anyway. Jesus Christ, let me put it that way. And I said to Joyce, Joyce, you ain't going to believe this. This was for me. This was for me. I needed to find this. I'm telling you. She said, what, Laverne? I said, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of a sound mind. She said, oh, okay. I said, Joyce, I'm telling you, listen. But okay, she was okay for her. For me, it was real, okay? I went home every single day. My witness. Every single day, I got that scripture. I ate it, drank it, lived it, did everything I had to do to make it to the next day, because I didn't tell you this part here, because it would happen to me in my lifetime when I was younger.
Now, Joyce is your friend from the fish house, and she has lingering illnesses and stuff from the fish house.
Exactly, yeah.
She did the same kind of work.
Same work, yep.
And can you... Does she have arthritis in her hands and that
She has arthritis. She has something wrong with her jaw that she had to have fixed, I think. I don't know what.
You think that a lot of these injuries are from the fish house?
Yeah. I don't know if that jaw was from the fish house, but I know her body and everything like that. And Joyce never, I'm telling you, she never recovered from a lot of stuff, like, you know, and then her son died, and it was a lot of stuff.
How about your family members that you remember that worked, the older women that worked in the fish house? Did they have injuries? Did they have long-lasting arthritis or anything like that?
They have arthritis, I can tell you that.
Yeah.
Because they work hard, they're hard workers and stuff. I don't know all their stories. If they, I know they all end up with arthritis, but they didn't work long enough at that.
Okay. And job. Fryingos was the only fish house that you worked at, right?
The only one, okay. Yep.
Did you make the patties for McDonald's?
Yes, we did.
Okay.
Yes, we did. That's the one.
Okay. And, did you do different jobs, you and Joyce? Did you do different jobs, or was that the one job that you did the whole time you were there?
I packed the whole time I was there, and I never put labels on. because they put labels on the package, and it wraps up and goes out. We both did the same. We 27 years. Our arms are bothering us now, but the elbows, and like I said, with the arthritis, you can see. And every now and then, I'm going just trying to turn it, get a label. It's really really cold, and it wasn't a good place to work at. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like it was slaves, because you had to do exactly. And then, like I said, when the union came in, it was different. It was a whole different ball game, but we still suffered a lot. When the machine would act up, nothing but ammonia would come through the whole building. And guess who stood there? Not me. I'm going home. I went home every time that happened. Except for one day, and that could have affected me now. One time I stood, because it was almost at the end of the day, and we got out at 2:00. So yeah, I stood, and that was bad. And those ladies inhaled all that. They stood there through all that. That was bad. I mean, strong.
Is there anything I haven't asked that you want to add to this? Any questions that you think are important to the story that I haven't asked? Because you have reinvented yourself a couple of times.
Mm-hmm.
But I just talking and listening to you, it seems like the foundation of that, besides your parents and your grandparents, mm-hmm. and everybody else, was working that really hard job,
mm-hmm. yep.
to pay the bills.
Yeah. Yep.
And I've always admired you.
Mm-hmm.
And I know where you came from, because I came from the same place.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. And I'm proud of you. You know that, right? Always. Everything. So now my mission is for me to pay off my mortgage. I'm going to, that's no doubt. I'm going to, and people say, oh, you're old enough. You're 70 years old now. You want to, yeah, I do. Because I want to get something accomplished here. Like, this is my mission here. Because when I go, my grandchildren, my daughter, whatever, they can do whatever they want. They can even sell it. I don't care. But I have to do something that I believe in. And I never graduated. I never went to a prom. I never went to a high school. Never went to a high school. That's the part that really bothered me. Not school, but in the high school. Those kids got to know. I went to a football game, and Betty's one of my good friends. And I'm so innocent over there. And I said, their wives are going to have a hard time cleaning their I'll never forget it. Cleaning their uniforms. Betty looked at me and said, Laverne, you didn't. I said, what? She said, these are high school kids. I said, so there you go. How innocent. You know what I mean? It was just funny. And I think about the things. And I'll tell you what. I'm not ashamed to say it. Because I know that I know now that I got something that the education person can never have, because they don't want it, because they want to be, look at this, how they call it? It's a label. And God don't look at labels. He looks at the heart. And that's where I'm at. So.
Wow. I think this has been really, really good. And again, I am so proud of you, especially because you're one of the only people in the world that knew me when I was nice.
Yep.
Thank you so much. Is there anything else?